chapter 14 today, Joshua 14. And usually, you know, I get what I want to preach. I know what I'm going to do Sunday morning, Sunday night. The last 3 weeks in a row, I've preached my Sunday, what I thought was going to be my Sunday night message. I preached it in the morning and preached what I thought I was going to do in the morning and the evening. And this week was no different. I was already going to preach this message on Sunday evening when it realized when we went to that grandparents thing that this was Grandparents' Day. And I said, oh, no, this is going to be a lot better message for the grandparents what I was going to do Sunday evening. So if you want to hear Sunday morning's message, you got to come back tonight. That's all, you know, I can tell you about that. Amen. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 14, verse 6, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. And my strength, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them. Then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Heavenly Father, again, want to pray this morning, Lord, and now ask for just a touch from you, Lord, anointing from on high. I pray that you fill me with your spirit, Lord, that we fill your spirit in this place. I pray that our mind can be cleared, our hearts will be right, Lord, seeking you, seeking to hear from you today. Lord, as always, we know nothing's accomplished without you, and so, Lord, we need you today. And help us, Lord, forgive us of our failures, Lord, and help us to be focused on you and you alone. Lord, speak now through your word this morning, asking in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message today is Never Too Old. Not a real long message. I didn't know how the other things were going to go, but never too old. And, you know, we see, I love the story here about Caleb in this text right here. 45 years before, 45 years have passed since God had led the Israelites out of Egypt, and they had got over to the promised land. And, you know, they sent some spies out to spy out the land. They could have gone right in to the promised land. It wouldn't have taken them that long to get over there from there. Of course, we know what happened. The spies went in, and they came back, and they had a report. You know, they said, well, yeah, hey, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. I mean, man, it looks great. They were talking about grapes. I think you read that the grapes were huge and everything looked good. I mean, it was great. And then, then this but came up, you know, as a lot of times we got a, you know, God is good, but, and we throw that in there. And they said, but, you know, but hey, there's walled cities over there. And there's giants, the Anakims. They were like giants. They were really big people. And when you look at that text, when they went in, said they were giants, and they said, we look like grasshoppers in their sight. They said, we don't look too big. So they saw the problems. They saw the obstacles. And so all of them, when they came back, they said, it's a great land. It was the land that God had promised them. They forgot about that. It was the land God said, you're going to take it. But all of them, there was 12 spies that went in, and Joshua and Caleb were two of them. And the rest of them said, oh, hey, we can't do it. And Joshua and Caleb, back then, 45 years before that, they said, hey, we can't. They said, man, listen, let's go in and take it. It's ours. They had faith. And, of course, you know what happened. God said because they wouldn't listen, they were going to wander. They wandered in the wilderness till all the adults died that were of age. People that were of age, they died that wouldn't go into the land except Joshua and Caleb. They were the only two that were left out of that. And so now, 45 years later, they finally got back over there. They've gotten into the promised land. And now the inheritance is going to be divided up among the tribes, among the people of the tribes and that. And Caleb, he goes up to Joshua, and Joshua's in charge. You know, Joshua, Moses didn't go into the promised land either because he smote the rock instead of speaking to it at the time. And so God said, listen, you're not going to lead them in. I'm going to show it to you, but you're not going to lead them in. And Joshua's going to be the man in charge. And Caleb was under him and with the rest of them. But he comes up to Caleb and when they're dividing the inheritance, and he said, listen, I want to give you this mountain. And he said some things, and he said in verse 6, he said, thou knowest the thing the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Thou knowest that. Think about that scene right there. Here's these two old saints, man, two old warriors, two old guys that had faith in God 40 years, 45 years before. They still had faith in God. Right now, and Caleb comes up, he said, you remember that day? He said, he told Joshua, you remember that? He said, man, when Moses was leading us, they remembered Moses. There wasn't anybody hardly left alive that knew Moses except them two guys. All the rest of them had died. And they said, you remember that? Remember when we were with Moses? We knew that, man. And boy, you know, they had a friendship. They had a connection like nobody else because they had had faith together. When they saw that, they knew what was over in the promised land. They had to wait. Just think about that. They suffered for over 40 years because of the unbelief of the people, even, and they were God's chosen people, even though they had faith. They had to suffer with the people, man. Talking about your sins affecting somebody. Yeah, but they had went through it all, and man, now they were going to go into the promised land, and they were going to spread, divide everything up. And there was things over there, was cities over there. This was the great thing about the blessing that God had for them. When they went in, listen, you know, and you know the story. They went in, and right off the bat, there was Jericho, and they marched around the walls and blew the horn, and the walls fell down. And of course, they'd build them back up. But a lot of the cities, they would take over the cities. There was vineyards that they hadn't planted. There was fields that they hadn't planted. There was cattle. They were going to get the spoil of the land. There was walled cities, which were important other than Jericho's, fell down. But the rest of them, Hebron, it mentioned there that Caleb. Hebron was in on this mountain where Caleb was about to go. It was a walled city. It was a great city. So it was going to be something that, that Caleb would have for an inheritance. He knew about that. And all of the inheritance that the people got wherever they settled, they would pass that down. The Jews were real strict about that, even as far as marrying out of your tribe. You know, they didn't want to do that because the inheritance had to stay there. And because why? They were going to pass that inheritance down to their children. You know, they would pass that on down, the land that they had, the houses that they had, and we still do the same things a lot of time. And it was going to be all that, whatever Caleb got, he would pass down to his children. But, and that was great, it was good, but it wasn't the greatest thing that Caleb would pass down to his children. It wasn't going to be the land or the cities and all those things right there. The greatest thing that Caleb could pass down to his children, and it was grandchildren, was his faith in God. This was going to be the great thing. So Caleb said this in verse 8, and he said this about himself. He said, in the last part, he said, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. If you read the whole thing, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Now it says, well, it sounds like Caleb's bragging about himself. No, he wasn't bragging about himself. Let me ask you something. Are you saved? Amen. Are you bragging? No. It's just a fact, right? Huh? He's just stating a fact. It isn't any more bragging than us saying, hey, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. I'm saved. I'm not bragging about it. I'm just saying that's the way it is, that I trusted Jesus. Caleb was just saying, hey, the hearts of the other spies made the people melt. Their hearts melt. Their report be said, I wholly trusted the Lord. I wholly followed the Lord. So did Joshua. They were the ones that, nah, we can go in and we can take it. That's why Joshua got into leading the people. Caleb's 85 years and still strong enough to go to war. And I mean, he's ready to go on into the, he's ready to go on in and take the promised land. He wasn't bragging about it. Listen, not only did Caleb say it about his own self, Moses said it about him. If you look in Numbers, Moses said that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Not only did Moses say it, Joshua said it about him right here in our text today. In verse 14, he said, Caleb wholly followed the Lord. So he had it. Man, there's a testimony right there. Like what somebody says about you. Now, not everything everybody says about you is true. Like if you hear anything bad about me, it's a lie. And if it's anything good, I said if there's anything good, it's true. I heard people sometimes they come up and say, man, I heard about you. I said, well, if anything was negative or bad, it's a lie. I'll tell you that right now. And but here was his testimony. Two men, God said it. Listen, he was wholly following the Lord. Was he perfect? No, we know he wasn't perfect. He was following the Lord. And so what a testimony for his children to hear that. Like if you got that testimony when you die, you know, well, you know, because we got to do all these funerals. Next week I'm going to be preaching on a funeral for a lost man. It's rough. It's hard to preach a funeral for a lost man. But you got to stand up there. But boy, what a testimony when everybody says, oh, you know, he trusted God. He wholly, which means he completely followed God. Can you leave your children or your grandchildren anything greater than that as a testimony? Huh? That they got to see it. They got to hear it. Not only from you, they heard it from other people that, boy, your testimony was that you trusted God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. That's a testimony. Huh? Led your people. My great-grandmother that I was telling you about, she was the first one really that would took a Bible and said, hey, I want you to, she called me Danny, which most of my family, said, Danny, I want you to read in the Bible. And she'd get me an old Bible. Man, that thing was old as the hills, which was cool. She didn't know to tell me like, okay, look in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, look at the Gospels or something. You know, I'd be off out there in Leviticus or something about what you can't eat with scales and hooves and cloven feet and all that. But I mean, I was reading the Bible. And you know what's crazy is I remember that. I remember what I was reading. I mean, I was 6, 7, 8 years old, man, and my great-grandmother had given me, but what a testimony. I'd see her out there, she didn't have a dime to her name. I mean, she got Social Security from whatever my grandfather's was back in those days, and she rented a little house that she owned next door to her, didn't have indoor plumbing. It did have indoor running water that came from a spring, and it took 15 minutes to fill up a glass of water. It had an outhouse out back, and she rented that house. I mean, it wasn't tore up now. It was a nice, it was fixed up, painted, and all that. It was clean as a, and all that. But she rented a house for $17.50 a month to somebody. She had her own little house over there. Her house was worse shape than the one she rented to somebody. But, man, she just always had a smile on her face. Snowing, man, she was, you know, if it snowed, she had a smile on her face because it was God's will. Buddy, and she talked about the Lord, man. I mean, she was a good Christian woman. Well, that was the legacy that I remember, you know, from my great-grandmother. My dad, she raised my dad. His grandmother raised him, not his mom. And then later we, you know, they had a relationship. We had a relationship with my grandmother, his mom. But that's something I remember. So think about it. They didn't remember anything else. And so the greatest thing that we could pass down to our grandchildren is our faith in God. You know, our belief in God, a testimony about God and to see us wholly following the Lord thy God. What an example, like I said, and there's other places, and there's a couple things that Caleb said in the text, and you know, that I want to look at that kind of expresses the faith, at least two things I want to talk about. The very first one is, he said unto Joshua, he said, give me this mountain. He said, give me this mountain. In verse 12 is where it was. You know, one of the things right off the bat that I noticed about this story and from studying this and back in Exodus, when they got here this time, like all the tribes didn't go over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. Like here's the river dividing, like just say is wide, it's wider than that probably, but there's the river and over there is where God wants you to get. Okay, that's where he wanted his people. Now I want to tell you right here for everybody, whether you're a grandparent or not, there's a place that God wants you to get to in this life. This isn't Jordan. Canaan was never pictured in heaven because there's no battles to fight in heaven, and they had them to fight. Canaan always pictures the place in this life that God is trying to get us to. Will there be difficulties there? Yes. Will there be battles there? Yes. Will there be obstacles there? Yes, there will be. But there's a place that God wants us to get to. And there's a blessing there for us too, if we get to it. But what happened was there was a couple of the tribes that decided to stay on this side of the river. They got down there to the promised land. And there wasn't, and it was nothing wrong with this land over here. It was really good grass, good for cattle, kind of like what Lot saw. It was good, it was a good place for cattle. They just said, hey, we'll just stay over here. Because they knew ahead there was battles. Now they did promise, if you read that, they did promise to come over there and help them fight. They would go over the river and help them fight and all that. But they settled in right up next to the promised land. And I think in Christianity today, there's a lot of people in this place right here. They've gotten close. They're right there. They can see it. They know what's over there because we got the report, not from the spies, but we got the report from the Word of God, right? We got the report what's over in the promised land. And yet, they don't really want to, they like where they're at, and maybe they wouldn't, they feel like they'd probably go over there and fight a couple battles, and as they got farther in there, we wouldn't have to fool with it anymore. They just don't want to go any farther. They got in their comfort zone, and I think that's a great lesson for us as Christians today. They didn't want to go over there, and there's no obstacles. They're already where they are. You know how many people are so, we get so content with where we are in a lot of things in life. You know, you get to a place in life, especially in our Christian walk, that we're so content with that. Because to get any farther, it's going to take an effort. It's going to take some faith. It's going to take, and your faith has never increased in prosperity. It's always increased in adversity. And man, we don't want to go through adversity because it's adverse. You know, that's why. We don't want to have to go, you know, they had to go over to Jordan River in flood stage. Now God put the water back. He parted the water. They would have had to exercise faith. They would have had to exercise faith at Jericho. They would have had to go through the defeated Ai because somebody had to steal a couple things he shouldn't have stole. They were going to have to go. They didn't want to do that. And so a lot of people see they're comfortable where they are. They're saved. Yeah. But man, to grow in their faith, going to be some repentance. Going to be some stuff, baggage out of your life that God wants to get out. You're going to have to go. And a lot of people don't want to get to that place that God would have them get to. But Caleb did. See, and that's a better legacy. Listen. I don't want to leave the legacy to my grandchildren of being a casual Christian or being a complacent Christian or being a like middle of the road so-so Christian. That's not the legacy I want to leave my grandchildren. I want to go all the way. Let's go all the way in. Let's get going with them. You know, one of the things when they asked us at this thing the other day about, you know, what is some of the things we do with our grandchildren to try to help them, you know, in their faith in Christ. You know, one of the things we pray with our grandchildren, you know, not only pray for them, but we pray with them. We do things, you know, read the Bible with them or encourage them with them that way. I think that's what we need to do. And so, you know, the side that they were on was okay, but it wasn't the best. And a lot of times we settle for the okay because the best is going to take an effort. And we don't want to go to that point. So don't be content. No matter how old you are, this is another thing about us senior saints. When you start to get to, you know what happens is, we just get, when you get older, man, there's just certain things, you get content with things. And you think, hey, I'm too old to change or it's too late for me. No, don't be content with no matter what, no matter where you are, if you're still alive, right? God's got a plan for you. So Caleb, when you look at Caleb, when you think about this, think about the geography. He wanted a mountain. He's 85 years old. He said, I want that mountain. He said, I didn't want the plain. When I was a little boy, I'd go to my great uncle's. I'd go, and they had a farm, and they had this really big green hill up in the middle of it. I grew up in Virginia Beach, flatter than a pancake, right? So this was a big hill for me, big old green. And I said, I want to run up there on that hill. But I was kind of afraid of the cows, you know, because the cows wasn't too much of a problem, but the bull could be. And I'd want to go up there, so I'd want my dad to go. You know, of course, I was thinking, now when you get older, you think back to how old your parents were at their point in life and where you were, how old you were. And I was thinking, and I wanted to go up there. You know, I'm a kid, man. I'm full of energy, man. I want to run up the hill, and I was a little scared to go. And if the cows, if I didn't see them, I might do it. But I'd try to get my dad to go up the hill.
You know, Dad probably by then, you know, say late 30s, 40s. He didn't want to go up the hill. See, nah, he, you know, I try, come on, Dad, come on, come on. Now I get it, you know. But no, he didn't want to go up the hill. He didn't want to, because, you know, he's getting older, see, but here was Caleb, 85 years old. Man, I want the mountain. I don't want the plain. I want the mountain. He's looking for something that would look like an obstacle or that would look harder. You know, I want that mountain right there. It was also the place where the giants dwelt. You know how he knew all this? Because he went there before. When they went to spy out the land, he saw it. So he already knew it. It wasn't like it was going to get him by surprise. He knew there was giants there. He knew that was the land of the mountain, that there was a mountain there. He knew that there was fenced cities right there. He had saw those things 45 years before, but guess what? He said it wasn't a deterrent to him. He knew about it. But I'll tell you what also he knew about. He knew about the presence of the Lord. See, look what it said in verse 12. It said, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims, those were the giants, were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. So if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Well, you know, that if so be it, and like if so be if me and you were saying if it, he knew the Lord was with him. The Lord's with him, man. He saw the giants, he saw the mountain. But he got his eyes on, you know, a lot of times we look at the problem and we look at the difficulty that lies ahead instead of looking at the Lord, like Peter looking at the storm instead of looking at the Lord. And you know what happened right there? So he knew that the Lord was with him. What an inheritance to leave our children and our grandchildren, our awareness of the presence of God in every situation. Great thing to leave your family. Amen? Amen? Yeah, I'm just making sure y'all with me here. Then he knew about the power of God. He said, I shall be able in verse 12. The power of God, I shall be able. Doesn't matter that I'm 45 or 85 years old. It doesn't matter I'm 85. He said, I shall be able. See, a lot of times, listen, Christian folk. I mean, I know sometimes people get to where they can't, you know, function. I mean, the body doesn't work good and all that. But just age itself is not an excuse to quit doing something for God. A lot of times people, let the younger people do it. Let the younger people do it. Truth be known, they've been saying that since they were 35, a lot of them. You know, let the younger people do it. They always letting you. When they were real young, they were too busy because they were raising kids. When they got to be middle-aged, they was too busy because they had business going on. Then they got a little older, they had too many grandkids, they couldn't do nothing for God. And then the next phase in life is, now I'm too old to do anything for God. Never could do nothing for God because something was always something coming up along the way. Amen. That's the way it is. But, you know, nothing like leaving. And look what it said in verse. He said he had the power of God. He had the presence of God in verse 12. The power of God in verse 12. And then also in verse 12, it said, as the Lord said right there. He had the promises of God. He saw all of them in the same verse. The presence of God, the power of God, the promises of God. This is what Caleb was leaving, a legacy. Leaving that he was going to leave that to his children, his grandchildren. And nothing like leaving a legacy of what the Word of God says to our grandchildren. Man, that's what a legacy right there. Amen? So Caleb's faith was based on the fact of what God said. God said he was going to give him the promised land. He believed him. It didn't have anything to do with how old he was. The Word of God is encouragement in the great difficulties of life. When you get to be a grandparent, you know that there's great difficulties in life. There's always been great difficulties in life. When facing the mountains of life, in life, there's mountains in life. There's giants in life. There's obstacles. There's things that look like we can't get over it. We can't get around it. We're not going to be able to do anything about it. But that's not a legacy of faith. You know, that's not the legacy we want to leave our children, right, and our grandchildren. Don't we want to leave them the legacy that, hey, God can do it. God can do anything, as long as it's and will do, as long as it lines up with His Word. There was something there. You know what? Well, why did Caleb want that so bad? There was something there. At first he said, give me this mountain. And then Joshua said that he was going to give him Hebron. Hebron was a city that was on that mountain. Hebron was a city there. And it was a great city. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived most of their lives in and around Hebron. Sarah, they were buried near there. And Sarah was buried there in Hebron near there as well. Is a city of refuge. A refuge city is where somebody that had accidentally killed somebody could go
and have seek refuge. So it represented the Lord in that sense right there. It was a refuge city. It was a priestly city. It was a city that belonged to the priest. As a matter of fact, Caleb gave it, allowed the priest. That was their inheritance when he had it there. David later on was going to reign from Hebron in the first 7 years of his rule when David was ruling. He ruled from Hebron. So it was a special place. And the reason that David was able to do that later on was because Caleb said, "Give me that mountain right there." He said, "I want that mountain. I'm going to take that mountain right there." And so there was something there. There was something worth having. And I want to say, as far as getting to the place that God wants you to get to in life, there's something worth it. It's worth it there. There's a blessing there for today. It's not wait until we get to heaven. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to get all the blessings that God has for us, or a lot of the blessings that God has for us. There's a blessing that is for us today when we get to the place that God would have us get to in our life, in our spiritual walk. And Caleb knew something about that. So he wanted the best things of God. This is it right here. Not settling for less, not settling for the other side of the Jordan, not settling just to be close to the place that God would have him to get to. He wanted to have the best things. I remember my pastor used to preach when I first, he would say, "Man, I don't know, whatever's God's got coming to me, I want it all. I want everything that God has for me, whatever it is, the crown, the jewels, whatever God's going to give me." He goes, "I want that. I want what God has for me." And I think that's a righteous desire to have everything that God has for us and not settle for just the crumbs that fall from the table, but boy, sitting down at the feast right there. So he wanted the best thing that God of God, and he conformed to the divine will of God to get those things. And so what a legacy he had. He left an example for his grandchildren. Not only that, he left an example for us because we're reading it today. And then look at this second thing in verse 10. He said, "Behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. He said, "The Lord kept me alive." Listen, think about it. What do you think the Lord kept him alive for? Did the Lord keep him alive for 45 years so that he could go over into the promised land and get slain by the giants that lived over there and not inherit the land and the promise that God had for him? He didn't leave him alive to go over and get killed. The same thing the Israelites complained about when they left out of Egypt. God delivered them out of Egypt by his mighty hand, Passover night and all that. And then they got up there trapped against the Red Sea and they said, oh, God's done took us out so he can slay us out here in the desert. They didn't know nothing about the character of God. They didn't know nothing about the love. I mean, they thought that God had brought them out there to kill them out there, and they said, "We'd have been better off. We'd have died in Egypt, back in Egypt," and all that. I mean, the same thing they said. Caleb had to do, he said, "Lord kept me alive these 45 years. I said, I'm 85 years old. He didn't keep me alive for nothing." And I'm going to say to you today, if you're here, no matter how old you are, no matter what age you are, God didn't keep you alive this long for nothing, man. There's a reason for it. God's got a purpose for you, a place for you, all those things. And so Caleb understood that he kept him alive. And since that first trip to the promised land. Well, listen, we're never too old to claim the promises of God. It doesn't matter how old you are. You're not too old for that. I remember a lady that we used to go minister to she was at the Bryan Center, and they moved her back down to the Carrington House, and I told y'all about her. Hazel Hager, 106 years old when she died. I preached her funeral. And I remember her talking about when she said, "When I turned 70 or 75, I can't remember." She goes, "I was boo-hooing, oh, I'm 70, I'm 75. And said her mama, she said, "Yeah, mama was laughing at me. My mom was laughing at me." And I said, "Well, how old was your mother when she died?" She said, "My mom was almost 108 when she died." And so I said, "Boy, what a longevity in the family." But Hazel's mind was sharp, and she was just at the Carrington House, kind of like a retirement home for her. They just had to make sure she didn't fall. She had a walker. She took a walk every day. Mind was sharp. But you know what she told me? She said, "You know what? She goes, God's got something for me to do. 106. God's got something for me to do." And she said, "I witnessed to these nurses and stuff coming. Jamie, I think Jamie dealt with her a little bit there. I know she talked to Jamie." So said, I witness to these girls. God, every time I get a chance to talk to somebody about the Lord, she goes, I talk to them about the Lord. Man, God had something for her to do. I mean, even at 106, man. And so it was great, man. What a legacy to live behind. We had a great funeral service for her, too. I mean, man, nurses came from Bryan Center and Carrington House, and they was all in there, and they knew, man. I mean, she had a legacy, left somebody behind, or let somebody live that long. And, man, what a legacy that she left behind. And so...
Here's the thing. You know, Caleb, in verse 11, he said this. He said, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. In other words, he's 85, and he said, you know what? I'm just as strong as I was when I was 40. He said, God has kept me, not only kept me alive, he's kept me in health. He said, I'm just as strong as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war. Here's an 85-year-old saying, man, I can go to war, man. I bet one thing, that's one 85-year-old man you didn't want to mess around with right there. He'd have probably lopped your head off with a sword. He said, I'm ready to go to war, both to go out and to come in. He said, I'm just as strong as I was when I was 40. And man, I mean, God kept him right there. I'm going to tell you what that means. He wasn't smoking and drinking and carousing around with a bunch of women either. I mean, I'll tell you what, he lived right? And it helped him there. Man, 85 years old. But the mountains, the giants, the fenced cities, listen to this. It didn't matter when he was 40, and it didn't matter when he was 45. Guess what? Them guys were still too big for him. They were giants. There was a lot of them. There was more of them. He couldn't have whipped them when he was 40. How do you know? Because he's just as strong at 40, at 85 than he was at 40. He still couldn't do it. Huh? He couldn't do it. Here's the thing. Those obstacles, God would have had to take care of it and would have when he was 40 years old. God's going to have to take care of it. Listen, there's things in life, it don't matter how old you are, you can't defeat it in your own strength. You can't do anything about it in your own strength. You're not going to get smart enough, wise enough, all those things that come along with age, right? It's not going to happen. No, you had to have God. He had to have God when he was 40, and he had to have him when he was 45 to get that mountain. It wasn't going to make no difference either way. See, so age wasn't a deterrent. Age had nothing to do with it. It had to do with his faith in God. I hope this is helping you. When you get to be 85, you can think about what I'm saying today. Amen. That'll help you right there. And so, except the Lord be with us. Always mountains in life. Always giants in life. Always things that are too big, too strong to overcome apart from God. And listen, I didn't read this far, but it impacted his family. You know how Caleb was slick, man. He got some help. He didn't go. Listen, Caleb didn't go over there against the giants by himself. One man with a sword, even with God on his side. Not that you couldn't do that, but he didn't do that. He uses wisdom. You know, we use wisdom. And he went over there, and he had a daughter. And he said, listen, I'll tell you what, anybody that's going to go over and help me fight, go over and fight these guys, he said, I'm going to give them my daughter for marriage. She must have been pretty good looking. Had a nephew back in them days, kissing cousins and stuff. Had a nephew, Othniel. Othniel said, I'll do it. He went over there and helped defeat them, and he gave them. Well, where did Othniel get that faith that he could go over and defeat them giants? Where did he get it? From his uncle. When great uncle's day comes up, Jesse, I'll preach on that. Huh? His uncle came up and he saw that in Caleb, that he had that faith. He said, I'll go over there and defeat him and I'm going to get his daughter. And then his daughter, she learned too, because after his daughter, guess what? She was bold enough to make a request when they took over the land and they got their part. Said there was an upper and a lower spring and over there springs was like, man, this was liquid gold, no doubt, because they're in a desert region. If you had land with a spring on it, buddy, you were the kingpin. You had the gold right there. Said there's an upper and lower spring. She told her daddy, said, I want them, give me them springs right there. She had enough faith to ask and claim those two springs. Where did they learn that? Where did they learn all that faith, that boldness? They learned it from Caleb. He said, give me that mountain. I'm going to ask. You have not because you ask not. He said, I'll go over there and take it. And Joshua said, it's yours, brother. And Joshua knew you're going to have to go over there and fight for it. But he went. So it impacted his family. There we see that, and that's the great thing. That's the legacy right there that Caleb left his family. Listen, what else? Like I said, Caleb knew God hadn't kept him alive 45 years for nothing. No, he knew that. He still had something for him to do. He had a physical inheritance, but yet he was leaving a spiritual inheritance that was greater than the physical inheritance that God gave him, something that lasts and lasts and lasts. And he set an example of faith and trust in the Lord that we have not only as grandparents, but as Christians today. You know, and so what an example. So for us parents, if you're not a grandparent, then one day you probably will be a grandparent, and you're a parent now. We had grandparents. Listen, we're setting an example one way. You know, we set an example no matter what, whether you want to or not. You know, some of these people think, oh, I'm not a role model. Yes, you are, whether you want to be or not. Somebody's looking at you. Somebody's watching you. You know, there's a lot of things we like to give our kids You know, we like to get our kids to the dentist and get them straight teeth. We want to get, and nothing wrong with that. We want to get them to the piano lessons, which I don't think too many people are doing that. We want to get them to, the education. We want them to have an education. We want the best things for our kids. We want the best things for our grandkids. As a grandparent, I know that. We want to help our grandkids out. We want to help our kids out. We want the best things, and we do things. Education, get them what they need, whatever it is. But listen, the greatest thing we can leave them is a legacy of our faith and trust in the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
All right, let's all stand with our heads bowed, eyes closed.